I'm gonna drop this book and get it in trade.
I think you are. You are.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Because it's really good, but it's early on and it's easy.
Everybody should have. To get
it, you know, I think this is my favorite, the one that you didn't read.
Figures.
Did you like Black Market?
Yes.
Were you recording?
We are recording. Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
The earliest reference to a comic book in, like...
Yeah, but you mumbled it, so probably no one heard it anyway, so...
Hey, I like how we celebrated episode 51 by not doing it until, like, a week later. We were like, yeah, episode 50.
Shit was going on. Rob had a thing. I have
a music play.
Right, Rob was playing a show, and I said no. I just said, fuck it, we're not doing it.
That's fair. I mean, I was busy.
Oh
no! In fairness, I was so tired that day.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's
be fair.
Most days.
We should be fair about it.
I don't eat enough food.
Roughage.
Well, like,
how's your digestion lately, Ryan?
In one word, messy.
Hmm. All right.
In two words,
very messy.
Lionel messy.
There you go.
In three words.
Okay, we're gonna keep this bit going. Huh? All right.
Argentinian. Baseball.
No, please continue. Baseball. Yeah.
Stuff.
All right.
Argentinian baseball stuff.
Welcome.
I hate that comic for that one reason.
You don't like that song?
I don't like Radiohead. I fucking
really
hate Radiohead.
I like Radiohead.
Knowing me and knowing Radiohead,
you hate a lot of things.
But you would you? Think
I like how we used like the joke running gag on this show was that Joey hated things. I like so many things. Ryan is the one who hates everything.
You like things
that are aimed at like young children.
Yeah, I hate things that people like rave about,
like raves.
I hate things that people like swear by, like fucking Radiohead. People love Radiohead, and I don't get it. I don't get it.
I'm gonna be honest with you, Ryan.
They're so bad.
They're amazing.
I don't get why people love hockey, but you
I
do.
Mean,
so
and you know what?
I'm okay with it.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yep.
But Radiohead sucks.
You know, when I was younger, I didn't
that's
like
the name
Radiohead.
Of their next record.
Well,
I didn't like Radiohead when I was younger, and then I grew up. No, I do.
I
so
hated
maybe
them.
One day.
Well, I
maybe
mean,
one day you'll hit puberty and fucking grow.
If you hit puberty, you'll just start fucking yelling at me on Twitter, which is all that fucking like pubescent teenage boys have been doing.
Was it
this
just
week.
Those two dudes?
No, I had a third one tonight that I had to go. I've been blocking people left, right, and center, bro.
Wow.
I mean,
the third person you can say tonight.
It was more just right. Like, basically, it was because I said I've had enough of talking to this person, so I basically just said I'm done and blocked him, and now I'm getting other like creeps like him. Coming out and like saying, oh yeah, don't you love when someone is proven wrong so they just abandon the conversation? I'm just like, first of all, this wasn't a conversation. This was some little dickweed giving me shit whom I've never met before.
Yeah. The first guy?
Yeah.
Now,
that guy was fucked in the head.
I'm going to say one thing.
Go ahead.
The first guy, his very original point
was wrong.
Deeply
flawed.
I
from a place of utter privilege and ridiculousness
about the fact that like why wouldn't they just make a new character?
My answer to that is they fucking did. That's
yeah.
exactly
okay.
what they did.
I don't really have a problem with his original statement. I thought that the way he went about it was ridiculous, and the guy was kind of
everyone's entitled to their opinion. His
yeah.
opinion in this case was utterly preposterous, ridiculous, and whether he likes to admit it or not. Incredibly preposterously sexist and coming from a place of
now,
tremendous privilege.
If now
his entire argument, Ryan, boiled down to I want there to be women in comics, but only on my terms with the way I say they should do
yeah,
it.
Fair enough.
The only people who should be able to decide how women characters are introduced into comics are boys.
Yeah.
The only way we're allowed
absolutely.
To have girls in our comics is the way we say so, which incidentally
well,
is not at all.
No, the only way is with copious amounts of cleavage.
Yeah,
and,
so,
and
anyway, he couldn't have been more wrong, and he just, and he also got more and more ridiculous, and the fact later on that he was accusing me of being sexist and not a feminist when he, in the same sentence, called
aren't
me
a
white knight mangina.
Yeah. Now, see, I don't agree with his original opinion, for the record. I don't really have a problem with, it's like one of those things where it's like, I don't agree at all, but whatever. People, like, it's one of those things that doesn't really bother me when people say, well, why wouldn't they just make a new character? But, I don't know. at the same time they've done that before. Well, I mean, at the risk
of being crass, that's because you're a white boy.
Well, yeah. Like,
of course it doesn't. Well, of course you have no stake in it because you're represented by every other comic book in the entire world.
And
that's why you don't care. And that's not necessarily like a bad thing. It makes perfect sense that you would be like, I'm not bothered one way or the other. But that's part of the problem.
Also, I think if you look at it from just like a business standpoint, I mean, why don't they just make a brand new character? Because it won't sell. No one would buy it.
Because
if you make a new character and call it Thor, people will buy it because it's Thor, right? It's Marvel. They're in the business of making money, not of making people happy. They don't give a shit.
I agree. Right? I mean, I feel like I'm coming out too strongly in support of this guy's
No, I don't think you're supporting
opinion,
this guy.
Because
I don't see what you're saying.
I don't agree with his opinion. I don't really...
I don't.
It's not the worst opinion I've heard on the subject of Lady. Lady,
but that doesn't make it a good one. I don't think you're defending him. I'm not accusing you of that at all. But my point would be, Ryan, take a look at that from outside of. It's difficult for us because we are heterosexual white male in an incredibly patriarchal society. For us to, and on some level, we can't really fathom what the problem is from the other side. But at the very least, we can try to listen to some of the voices and be like, I can kind of see what you're saying.
Now, a big part of this is that I don't really give a shit about the fact that Thor is going to be a woman, because I just don't care. I can't bring myself to care. And I love that book. And the story, just on the surface level, like, oh, now Thor's a woman.
Right.
I don't know if it does as much for me as, say, Thor's fighting Galactus, because that sounds way better to me.
But therein is exactly my point. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to... You don't have to care, and it doesn't make any difference to you, because every other comic book, you see yourself, you are reflected in the pages of every other comic book that's out there.
Yeah.
So, of course, it doesn't seem like a big deal to you. And for those of us who are just like, I don't get what the big deal is, it's like, of course we don't, because we aren't the ones to whom it should... It is a big deal. We aren't the ones that they're trying to welcome into comics. We aren't the new readers that they're desperate. We aren't the half of the population who doesn't get to see themselves reflected in the pages of superhero comics.
Yeah.
Every comic we can look, I mean, sure, we don't look like superheroes. I'm fat, you're a smoker, Rob's got glasses.
Sorry, I'm smoking.
Superman doesn't wear glasses. Clark Kent wears glasses. He wouldn't be able to see.
Exactly.
I'm basically Constantine.
So basically, what that means is like the fact that you don't get worked up about it is exactly the point and why it's a good thing.
I mean, like I said, I'm not just on the pure surface level. It's like, oh, this doesn't sound like one of the more interesting stories. But at the same time, Jason Aaron has a good track run with me.
I just want
the comics to be good.
It's just exactly.
It will be
great.
Yes,
it'll be excellent.
Here's the thing. I agree to you to
it
a certain extent
great.
That. Yes, above all things, I want comics to be great. Mm-hmm. Above all, that's obviously my thing, but it's not enough for them to be just good anymore. I want comics to make an effort to not only be great, but to also be inclusive of everybody.
I disagree. I want comics that only I like.
Well, you're in for some... You're very lucky
because you can choose which comics you buy and take home.
Exactly.
Like, here's the stuff that I don't like, I don't buy.
Right, well, that's exactly right, yes.
Except for I bought like 7 or 8 issues of Sons of Anarchy, so...
Right, but I mean, I think this is more important than just, I just want the comics to be good.
Yeah.
I want them to be diverse and include everybody and be good. There's no reason that the two are mutually exclusive, and there's no reason that one is good enough.
I think that this all is just because they didn't fire Rick Remender, so... that was the most, like, finding a fucking...
It was dumb because it was uninformed.
Wait, what happened?
There was this brief thing on Twitter last week where somebody misread a Captain America comic and started a campaign against Rick Remender after having not read the comic.
And
a lot of people had to come out and say, you're fucking wrong. That isn't what happened.
In the original article, they actually went out of the way to state that the comic was bad in the first place. Like, his Cap run was bad, which I was like, okay, well, this seems just kind of like a vendetta. And then they proceeded to, like, show all this... quote-unquote evidence that Jet Black was like a 13-year-old girl.
Look, the problem was that there was an accusation of statutory rape in a Captain America comic because Jet Black and Falcon were drunk and they have sex in the comic book.
Which?
There are many legitimate reasons why a person would have an issue with that, statutory rape not being one of them. So I think it was unfair to... Obviously, it was completely unfair and ridiculous for a misinformed campaign to begin to try and fire Rick Remender for something that didn't happen.
Also, the accusation of statutory rape was based on the fact that John Romita can't really draw certain age groups. So, like, in one page, they flat out say
how old she is in the comic.
And Jet Black's supposed to be, like, 8 in a page, but she looks like she's 2 in one of the very first issues.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know.
It wasn't... I think that this one has been blown away out of proportion because it didn't take very long for them to point out, like, no, that's not what happened. So...
But I was more angry about that because I get mad when people make a big fuss out of something that's not a big fuss. I don't have a problem with that.
I didn't get... Well, obviously, it sucks when somebody is accused of something that isn't true.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, this isn't an issue that would be upsetting to you. So, of course, you're not... You're more upset because it's somebody... I don't know how to describe this.
I think I'm more upset because it's something I like being attacked on, like, a completely baseless accusation. Of just, like there. I don't see anything... Okay, I don't get offended. I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see why
being offended is not doesn't mean right. That doesn't.
I mean,
you can be offended by lots of stuff.
There was no insinuation that he got her drunk to have sex with her. No. In fact, the insinuation was they both got drunk, and then the next morning he was like, "Oh no, I shouldn't have done that," and she was like, "Let's do it again."
The issue has to do with people's opinions on alcohol being involved in any kind of sex. It all has to do with consent and alcohol and. And it's a complicated thing, and there's lots of different... Again, but the argument is a person, when they are impaired, capable of consent.
Yeah.
That is the question.
But well, okay,
we're going to solve here on this podcast.
So, are you saying that I shouldn't be wasted when I go vote?
Oh, no,
you can do that.
It doesn't matter.
Can do that?
Dude, you live in Alberta, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because they're going to fuck you anyway. Oh!
Hey! Up top. I don't know. I was mad about it. I had a more fully formed argument last week, but...
I didn't get... I mean, I was mad because somebody was being accused of something that wasn't true.
Yeah.
But I think that the backlash against the original thing was equally misguided.
Mm-hmm.
And because then it came down to like, you see, it ended up being a bunch of dudes yelling, see, this is what happens when chicks get all pissed off about shit. Well, no, that isn't the problem. This particular person was wrong, yes. But that doesn't mean that anybody who takes issue with something is wrong... Or that the original complaint is necessarily wrong.
Okay, so I missed all of this.
I didn't.
It was a female who started a campaign against Rick Remender.
Yeah.
And was proven to be wrong, and then there was a subsequent protest against this woman because
there was a backlash both ways. There was a hashtag on Twitter #fire Rick Remender over this, which by the way, Twitter things to fire people are very silly.
And then it was quickly taken over by
like
Jerry
Duggan against that, saying, "Hang on, this is horse manure." And so, but then of course, in any situation, it's just like the Janelle Aslin issue when she put up the blog post critiquing the cover of Teen Titans number 1.
Right. Okay.
And so you have a bunch of people, the backlash then against her.
Yeah.
For saying that.
Oh, I see.
And then,
I see.
So in this case, we have this person does something that was wrong, but then the backlash against the original problem, she was wrong flat out. But then the backlash goes ridiculous as well, because then it starts becoming people screaming at each other on the internet and threatening violence like always, and it's just as bad either way.
The only
so
thing
a bunch
that...
of people defending Rick Remender were equally horrible, if not worse, than the original offender.
Right. The only thing that was different about the Teen Titans cover was the girl who wrote the article about the Teen Titans cover was right.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean...
That's the thing.
They're
no,
they're
I know.
Sort of
I
mean, two
now,
different things. But,
the girl who wrote the article about Rick Remender deserved to be called an idiot, and to say no, you're stupid, and you
I
wrote
think
out poorly
been,
researched.
She deserved to. Be
she deserved
she
to be
was
called
incorrect.
Out.
Correct.
Not called out.
You
in
were
a,
wrong. You,
okay,
she,
well, when I when I say
like,
an idiot,
the,
not
the point that you're making is wrong. You're not correct in this issue. The facts don't support what you're saying. But unfortunately, that's not the kind of discourse we have in comic books.
I mean,
we have. The kind of stuff that I got to enjoy on Twitter yesterday.
That guy. Like, and then he had a couple of his, like... I avoided Twitter over the past couple of days just because
really,
it's miserable.
I was laughing the whole time.
But, like, it, like, bums me out so hard so much of the time because I love comics so much. And if you look... on Twitter, there's just so much swill and negativity and evil and sexism and shit. I know, and that's what bums me out, is because I'm like, oh, you can't even escape it in this fake little bullshit microcosm. You can't escape the stupidity of humans. But what this guy was saying was like, the fact that you brought up gender makes you a sexist. And that was it. And then he just kind of used big words to kind of defend it. But it was just like, what?
Yeah,
what
I mean, so many... Yeah, just, and then, I got the impression that this was like a young heterosexual male.
Oh, yeah.
Especially looking at his next couple of tweets to other people were very...
It was really fucking silly. Weird, man. Because it was actually reading your discourse. You're not even...
I'm barely engaging.
Rebuttal him maybe twice. The rest of it is just this guy going on a tirade and really not saying anything. Like everything that he's saying is substanceless.
Once or twice I tried to engage with him, and then it was actually a
visual interpretation of it. If someone did an interpretive dance, it would just be a guy annoyed trying to swat away a fly as a fly just goes fucker. And swears at it, just like around buzzing maniacally, and you're just like, fuck, leave me alone. What the fuck? Go away. You're stupid. No, I'm not fucking stupid.
See, and I think and that's something that we forget. Like,
backwards.
I'm going to get accused of fucking white knighting again, but when we see people on the internet who we apparently, we can say, well, this isn't a big deal. Why are they making a fuss about this? Because that is every fucking day. I got attacked by a guy on Twitter one time. But no one threatened to murder or rape me, and it only happened to me once, and I've had a couple of other people just joining Loser Boys Crusade. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily surprising, maybe, when someone does jump to conclusion or fly off the handle or overreact. And to his credit, Rick Remender never said anything about it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have been more impressed with how classy that was. He didn't come out and start tripping over himself trying to defend himself. He just let it alone.
Good, because it just got stamped out.
What was
he
gonna do?
Did you we probably didn't. It was a couple weeks ago. This is a more light topic. It was Remender on Twitter at like midnight or 1 a.m, and he was just really bored and just being like, "Oh, you're all boring me. Oh, someone do something to entertain me. This is all bullshit. Someone do something explosive to entertain me." And then Alish Kott tweets at him saying, "Are you still writing Captain America, or are you still farming that shit out?"
Oh yeah,
and
I did see that.
And
yeah.
It's just like Remender, and I watched that, and I went, and I kind of paused for a minute, and I went, "I think I'm 90% sure that's a troll." And Remender goes, "I work really hard on Cap. I'm not sure what's being said here." And then immediately, poor Alish Kott, is just like, "No, he said, I thought you wanted a flame war. That's what you just wanted. I actually really like your Cap run." And then it's just Remender, like, all caps laughing. And then Jason Aaron being like, "The reason why he didn't get your joke is because Remender doesn't know how to write because he farms his shit out." It's just like, it's Remender being like, "Oh, wow, you actually got me. I was really upset for a second." It was really funny, actually. It was totally like, "What the fuck do you mean?" It was great. It made me laugh. Anyway, we should talk about
the internet just went down. God damn it.
Good.
This fucking internet.
Yeah, I mean, good. Now I can, like, listen to people.
Do you guys want to talk about a brand new book that came out?
Hey, I read it.
I read that.
I really...
I looked at it. I didn't read it.
Y'all.
I can't read.
I looked at the pictures. Black Market #1 from Boom Studios and Frank Barbieri and Victor Santos, with a really, really good Victor Santos cover. Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting concept about these... criminals who basically try to steal superhero DNA to sell on the black market, and in an effort to cure diseases like cancer and MS, or work towards building a cure,
or at least that's what they tell our hero.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's a really cool last page that
implies maybe that's not what's really going on.
Yeah, implies far more dastardly acts. Really awesome artwork by Victor Santos, really cool layouts as well. A lot of the panels actually reminded me of Michael Avon Oeming.
Yeah, his style is reminiscent of Oeming.
I totally agree.
It was really cool. The last page made me love the first issue. Like, up until that, I was like, yeah, this is cool. This is a great concept. I really enjoy this. But the last page actually really got me excited. So I'm going to follow the rest of the series. I dug it.
I'm glad that he got a good artist this time.
You didn't like Toby Cypress?
Oh my god.
I dug Toby Cypress quite a bit.
I don't know. I think if you're doing sequential art in a comic book,
but it wasn't... good comic art.
Exactly. That's what it was. If you're doing sequential art in a comic book, I feel like you should be able to follow what's happening.
Fair enough.
I mean that
it was.
But
I mean, I could follow it perfectly. So maybe you're just dumb.
I thought it was hard, but
no, I mean,
I'm kidding.
I was about to say
it was pretty.
Preface this with the fact that Mike Allred is my favorite artist, and I wish everybody.
No,
just
I was just kidding.
Like Mike Allred when they drew.
Toby Cypress art was really
awesome.
less sequential, harder to follow, but I still really enjoyed it. I thought that series was quite good. Yeah.
I thought that the story was interesting in that.
It was very cool. I dug it.
I'd rather just read a novel.
You know?
I don't even like novels.
I enjoy. I think I'm reading everything Barbieri is putting out right now.
He's an excellent writer.
I do.
Five Ghosts is a really fun book.
He's a really cool writer. And speaking of Twitter, he's really uplifting and like happy and like creative and really kind of, hey, go out, make stuff, make comics, it's very cool, is really cool.
And then I tweet him, and I'm like, and then I tweet at him, and I'm like, no, fuck you, don't tell me what to do.
Fuck you, I won't
tell me
do
how to
you
live
tell
my
me.
Life. And then I fucking listen to
stuff. Let's do a segment that I like to call Stuff That Came Out Last Week When We Didn't Record a Show.
Hey, I didn't read this first book. Should I read it, Joey? Tell me.
Okay, so the first book on the pile, Spread, number one from Image Comics by Justin Jordan, Kyle Strom, and Philippe Sobrero.
Starring Wolverine. That cover, he looks like Wolverine.
I mean, he has pointy hair on the top, not the sides, but other than that, he looks like a guy.
I don't know.
You just brought up gender, you white knight
mangina.
Are you saying all white men look the same?
Yes.
No, you are.
Yeah. Well, all white men who look kind of short with scruffy facial hair.
So,
hair.
I wasn't going to get this because at the moment I'm feeling a little burnt out and disinterested in post-apocalyptic science fiction. But not that there's anything wrong with post-apocalyptic sci-fi.
Just
a lot
of it.
Yeah, I'm just feeling less into it at the moment because there is a lot of it, and it's like it's a very common trope right now. Which maybe says something about the state of the world. But anyway, first of all, the art is really good. Kyle Strom's art is really good. This reminds me in some ways of Luther Strode in that it's very visual. There's like a lot of just like big set pieces without a ton of exposition. Although this does feel like there was more than there was in, say, Legend of Luther Strode.
Legend of Luther Strode was almost silent.
Yeah. So, which
just very
was
very
great to look
action.
At Treadmore art. It kind of didn't work as much for me because there wasn't as much for me to grab onto apart from how cool the book looked. But this is a pretty neat concept. There's this weird. I read this 2 weeks ago, so this was one of the ones I actually read last week when it came out. But there's this weird monster that is like taken over the world, I guess, and it looks really cool. So it's, and of course, being as it's the post-apocalypse, there's all kinds of other monsters and what have you, and gangs like like from Road Warrior and stuff running around.
Do me right in the dirt,
just this guy who's going to try and save this baby who apparently is
my baby,
who is apparently immune to this plague that has destroyed the world and turned all this stuff into horrible, cool monsters. And could possibly be the cure. So he's going to try and protect this baby.
Is it a miniseries, Joe?
I don't know.
Did you make a Lost reference?
Yeah, I did.
It was good. I enjoyed it. The art in particular is really good. So I'll definitely pick up a second issue. What?
May I look at it?
Yeah, go ahead. And,
thank you.
While you look at it, I'm going to
if you were
going to
say can I, I was going to say, I don't know, can you?
No, okay.
When you were in school and you said, can I go to the washroom, would your teacher ever go, I don't know, can you?
All the time.
Because I had a teacher who would do that, and then I fucking buried that bitch. No.
Whoa.
No.
Wait, hold on. You say buried instead of buried?
Buried.
You say buried instead of buried?
Yeah. I'm really dumb.
Whoa.
Don't have a good grasp on life.
I totally missed what your story even was because I was just
too
focused
on
you saying buried. Buried.
I hate these words.
No, I didn't actually kill her. I just got really annoyed and then started saying may I. So I guess it worked.
I see.
But then as soon as school is done, fuck it. Can I go to the washroom?
Anyway,
Joey.
If you're looking for a recommendation for a post-apocalyptic sci-fi comic with monsters in it, you could do worse than Spread.
Joey.
Which... doesn't sound like a huge praise now that I've said it out loud, but no, I liked it a lot. I recommend it. It gets my seal of approval.
It looked like Tradmore
art. I dig.
The, well, I agree that the cover does, because I'm pretty sure it is.
The monster pages, the, and the red and the blood and the violence totally reminds me of Tread.
I can see that, yeah, for sure. It's similar style. I don't think it's... It's not... Yeah, it's definitely a similar style. I don't think it looks like Treadmore that much, but his style, or at least the way he lays things out, his action sequences are not far off from Treadmore, so I see why you say that.
Fart off.
Hey. Shirt twin.
Hey, me and Rob were in the same shirt.
They're one head is in each armhole.
Hey, Rob, do you know how much the upper half of our outfits cost today?
$6
total.
Okay, so the next book that came out last week, this would have been my pick had we done the show last week, and it is Lumberjanes, issue 4 from Boombox, written by Noel Stevenson and Grace Ellis. Shut the fuck up. Illustrated by Brooke Allen, colors by Marta Laiho, and letters by Aubrey Hayes. It's cool that the entire creative team in this book is ladies.
Cool.
Everybody. Including badge designs by someone who we'll talk about later, Kate Leth.
Badge.
She's a girl that draws stuff, and she's really good at drawing stuff.
And she's got a poo case.
That's all I know, because Matt Fraction retweets some other stuff.
She's very cool.
And she did that thing for Justin Haggs. Did she? Am I thinking of the right person? The Adventure Time cover? Or is that somebody else?
I don't remember.
I remember seeing it on Twittier. Twittier.
Anyway.
Fuck. You're a Twittier.
Okay, so...
Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
In this issue, the Lumberjanes, in addition to finding these... Having a run-in with these awesome Yeti monsters who are really funny, they end up discovering a group called the Scouting Lads. So basically the dude version of the Lumberjanes. And then they're going back to their camp... and then ditching their scout leader once, or their lumberjane leader once again, to go and investigate this lighthouse, where they have to find a way to get past the team of Yetis that are protecting the lighthouse.
Ditch it!
And then they also discover that the scouting lads are not what they seem. But, oh my god, this is like my favorite comic right now. I know it's a comic that's like, it's an all-ages comic, so everyone can enjoy it, but it is certainly aimed at young girls.
That's noble of you, Joe. You're taking the bullet for young girls.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
They're always aiming at young girls.
So, I don't know. It's just a testament to how good this is.
That was a good joke. I'd move.
It's just so much fun to read, and the art is so good, and the characters are also funny, and I just love it. I've always also loved summer camp stories. I know it's a weird, like...
What's your favorite genre? Yeah,
summer camp stories. I've always loved movies about kids at summer camp, like Meatballs and Camp Nowhere and a million other ripoffs of those things.
American Pie Band Camp.
My favorite Foxtrot storyline was the one where they go to summer. I know where
that's
Jason,
a specific memory.
I know I've read that story on a like it was, they go to Jason and Marcus go to like a science camp, and that's still like my favorite storyline of that long running daily newspaper comic. I don't know why, what it is, because I never went to summer camp, I never had any interest in going, but I guess I liked vicariously attending summer camp through fictional characters, and in particular I like these ones because they fight monsters.
Are you ready for the summer?
And I like horror movies set in summer camp, so yeah.
Oh, hey, I'm going camping in 2 weeks.
Where are you going?
I don't know, somewhere up north.
Sweet.
Hey, next weekend? Going to God's Province, guys.
What does that mean?
Sunny old Saskatchewan.
That's called God's Province?
Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan.
Hey.
I call it God's Province because if there is a God, he made Saskatchewan. The rest he just threw together.
I mean,
he took his time.
Oh, I guess he's not wrong.
Oh, I fucking love Saskatchewan.
Boy, you are just dropping questionable opinions left, right, and center today.
Wow, yeah.
But I love Saskatchewan.
Okay. Okay. First things first. I love Saskatchewan, and I generally dislike women. No, I'm just kidding. I can't say something like that all the way through with a straight face.
And that's one of the reasons I like you. We're still doing stuff that came out last week, right? So, Empty Man number 2. Anybody else read this?
Yeah!
Was that a yes?
Yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed that book.
It's spooky, and there's monsters.
It is very spooky.
Cool.
Spooky X-Files-y sort of mystery.
The concept of the what do they call themselves? The people or the witnesses, I guess. The witnesses, people who have survived close encounters with the Empty Man.
The face.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I really dug it.
Yeah. This came out last week as well.
It was Detective Comics 33. Pretty.
Oh yeah, this is definitely the best looking Batman book.
By far,
by
absolutely.
A wide margin.
And it's a great mystery too.
It is good. I do like that it's a mystery. the whole like dick measuring contest into boxing match between Batman and what's his face at the end, Harvey at the end. I was kind of like, oh, why are it's like whatever, but like it just seemed to me okay. So like Batman, like, or rather Bullock by Harvey, where Batman's just like across the street from them, this there's like a person being murdered and horrible things are happening. They're like, we're gonna be dickheads and punch each other. It's like, I know it's a Batman comic, but Batman, a couple times I was thinking Batman's way too smart to get dragged into this dumb fucking testosterone fueled dick measuring contest with a fat detective. But having said that, everything else in the issue
I
like. I want
to see that HBO series, Fat Detective. Paul Blart, Fat Detective.
Oh my god, I would watch that movie.
But yeah, it continues to be a enjoyable superhero detective comic called Detective Comics.
Hey-o.
Oh yeah, we should say it was Francis Manapul and Brian Bucciolato.
Hey-o!
I like this.
This was the last issue of Winter Soldier, The Bitter March by Rick Remender and Roland Boshi and Chris Shukri.
In this comic, Winter Soldier has sex with
you really, girl. You Chrissy Shukri.
This book basically ended exactly. I like this comic a lot, but I liked every other issue more because basically this issue ended exactly the way you knew it had to, because you know what happens to the Winter Soldier and all these other characters. So I'm like, well, clearly this is what's going to happen, and then that's exactly what did happen. And the journey was interesting, but at the same time, I would say like the fact that I knew all along exactly what was going to happen made it harder for me to get invested in Winter Soldier and his partner succeed in their mission? Of course they won't.
Are you reading Cap?
Yeah, I haven't for a while. Last issue I read was the penultimate Dr. Mindbubble, I think.
You know, the Iron Nail?
Yeah.
That is the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent in this book.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's why he starts hating. Yeah, it's more of a Ranch and Iron Nail prequel than it is a Winter Soldier.
Oh yeah, Winter Soldier is not the main character in this book at all.
Now,
but what are they going to say about him? Chinese secret agent.
Yeah, Chinese S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
It's almost too bad that they couldn't do that. But there, that goes back to our really long discussion. It's too bad that they're like, well, we can only sell this if we say it's about this established white character. Because no one would buy Chinese Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And the fact that I can't remember his name.
Ran Chen.
Ran, thank you. I was going to say, it would speak volumes
racist.
Except that I can never remember the name of any character. Yeah, every time I read a book, I'm like, what the fuck's that guy's name again? It doesn't matter. I don't know. Like, Bullock has been one of my favorite Batman characters since the animated series. And I called him Harvey, like Harvey Dent. And I'm like, yeah, it's Harvey. Is his first name Harvey?
Harvey Bullock.
Is it Harvey?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not an idiot.
I thought it was Harvey.
I just want to kill me. Anyway, yeah, it's very good.
Havari, jeez.
Last but not least, I think it was the last one.
You know what? We'll have Winter Soldier as the main character, however. That new Winter Soldier ongoing about him fighting space people.
What?
The new Winter Soldier.
Alex Scott and Marco Rudy.
Oh, cool.
Like, I'm very tentative on the Marco Rudy thing because it's not my bag.
Marco Rudy's the best.
But I am all in on a Winter Soldier fights people in space.
I mean, that's not where I would put him, but that's cool if that's what they want to do.
Hey, Space Punisher.
I was hoping that they would do more like, the whole point of Winter Soldier being faking his death was that he was going to be in the shadows, and then they did nothing, and now everyone knows he's alive. But whatever, I don't really care.
In the shadows means he would be silent, right? Well, in space.
You'd think that it would make sense them getting into Kot, because Alex Kot is the writer of Zero and Secret Avengers.
Yeah.
He's
carving out a niche as the espionage guy. Not the serious espionage. All those zeros pretty serious. Okay, also last week was Shudder number 4. Joe Keating, Owen Gienny... Joe Keating, Lila Del Duca. Owen Gienny and Ed Brisson. My favorite part of the whole book was the first 3 pages, which was just like the awesome origin story of the Skeleton Butler.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Harrington is his name, that.
There's a lot of really interesting, crazy characters.
Harrington. The thing about this book is that we've said since the beginning is it's just like, I feel like I don't know what's going on. But I think the reason I like it, because I still don't know what this book is about after 4 issues. But the fact that I'm still really curious to know tells me that I must be enjoying it and it must be a good book. And the fact that I still don't really know what it's going to be about at all isn't bothering me the way it normally would,
I just know
because I'm still really interested to find out.
All I understand is a childhood explorer who gives it up to become a photographer, is now getting drawn back into the family business as being another explorer.
And the world
as
is crazy.
She discovers her relatives who have been kept mm-hmm. captive by these crazy monsters and stuff.
I guess.
And, right. Or kind of. But there's like one lady who's her nanny who enlists
the
all these cool. Really, really cool.
All the people who tried to capture her in the earlier part of the
yeah,
series.
And the reason why they were trying to kill her is because she's so stubborn. So they had to take her
by force. Yeah.
By force.
Would you say that the reason they're trying to kill her is for all these things that she has done?
Is that a reference to something?
That's a Killers song. Get it?
Why would I get a Killers reference? Right.
Because they cover a Joy Division song that's also covered by another band, and I like it.
Earlier today, somebody told me that you had a boyfriend who looked like a girlfriend.
Oh!
That I had in February of
last
year.
Hold on.
Which is weird.
Oh, wait.
It's not confidential.
Are we men or are
he's
we
potential.
Dancer?
What's that? Is that a killer
it's
song?
A fucking killer song. Jesus Christ.
I only know the one killer song.
Are we
song.
Men or are we dancer?
Why are
what
you singing like John Lennon?
Because John Lennon is the killer.
Man, I don't even care. I'll say it. I kind of like the Killers.
They're fine. I skinned my knee,
guys.
Kind of
catchy.
Anyway, yeah, Shadow Number 4 was good, and there was a very noir, dark Tiger Lawyer backup.
Yeah.
Which I feel like I've seen before. I feel like I've seen
well,
this
it's,
one.
No, it's, the it's because it's 9-panel. There is another 9-panel one drawn by Michael Walsh that starts with the exact same first panel of Tiger Lawyer with his finger up.
Okay, I'm dropping this book after this issue. Infinity Man and the Forever People Number 2. It was sucked. I have no idea who the fuck anybody is. I don't even care.
It was really irritating.
Dan DiDildo.
Ah.
Keith Giffen.
I was so
and
disappointed.
Keith Giffen's not drawing it anymore, so the thing that kept me coming back to issue 2 was Keith Giffen. Tom Grummett, who's great. I don't give a fuck. I don't like this book. I don't care what's happening. I don't like any of the characters. It's just...
I was
I
so
care.
Disappointed. It was my favorite the month the first one came out, and I was like, yeah, I'm hopeful that the Infinity Man will show up. So Infinity Man
showed up on the last page of the
last history. Fucking page, and drawn by a different person, so not even Keith Giffen, and...
Nice
I don't
front
know.
Cover,
what the fuck is the point?
Mean, but yeah, I'm done. I don't care what it...
Wow. It didn't take them very long to get me to sour towards it.
What's Infinity Man's powers?
He's a superhero.
The power of the infinite.
just
that's
a
what I was.
Superhero, yeah.
I see. I was. Is that like the real thing? The,
I don't know. I haven't
because
read
that's
Infinity Man.
What I was going for. Was
I haven't read the Forever People before. Yeah. I haven't gotten through all my.
It's just a cosmic super god.
Silver Surfer kicks his ass.
He's basically
Amazing Spider-Man 1.3, Dan Slott and Ramon Perez.
I haven't read the second and third
and
issues.
Colors by Ian Herring. It's really good. It's cool the way that they're making this actually all work and totally making Spider-Man's origin modern and relevant. And the art's amazing. And there's some really cool stuff.
The art is amazing.
With Clash. I'm wondering if they're going to end him in this series or if he'll show up again in the new run. So they're doing a really good job of like modernizing this while still keeping the great Steve Ditko feel,
mm-hmm.
especially with all the Aunt May stuff.
Also with all the exposition that they put in it, feels very Lee. It feels very like wordy and very in
the
Peter's head.
The characterization of Peter is very,
yeah,
very close
great.
To those first few issues.
That's great.
Would this character, Clash, I think his name is,
mm-hmm.
would you say he
lives by the river? No, he lives in like just like a suburb.
Would you say he's got soul, but he's not a soldier?
What?
No, he's
now I'm missing.
That's Killers now.
In this issue, he does get lost in the supermarket, though.
Hey, he's in love with rock and roll.
For a split second, I thought you were seeing.
He's like, that's a boring comic.
We're playing Clash song.
I did two nods, and
should
the
he
first
stay
one
or
was
should he
earnest,
go?
And then
I don't
he's like,
know,
oh,
man,
no.
I just.
You have complete control.
You know
of
what?
Situation?
The thing that I like about this guy, though, I mean, he's Caucasian and he's really funny. He's a white riot.
I wanna riot.
Okay, here's the funny thing about that song. I still don't really remember what he actually says there. A riot,
no.
But you will never be able to hear it again without hearing this. All I can ever hear is white riot. I wanna riot. White riot. A riot in my hole.
A riot in my hole.
And every time I hear it now, I'm like, yeah, a riot in my hole. What does that mean? Okay, moving on. United States of Murder, Inc., number 3.
So cool.
Brown Michael Bendis and Maki Bonoling.
Other than 2 pages, it was awesome.
Which 2 pages?
The 2 pages where he pulls a Pax Romana?
You don't like the Pax Romana bit?
I love it.
What's that? The bit where it's like the dialogue's on the side?
Yeah. Where it's the like script?
It's so confusing.
Why is it confusing?
Because it literally has their names.
But also then when you look here, their names are different under the pictures than they are like here or on the page before. So
all you need to know is they're just big crime bosses.
Yeah, that's eventually what I settled on was like, fuck it, they're all just crime guys. But
it's like a Game of Thrones sequence. I don't know the name of every single person that talks around the main iron table or whatever the fuck Cersei and all of her advisors sit around.
Council.
But like, I know that they're all just talking about what's like the plot is what matters.
Would you have rather had like a 2-page spread of like
just
16 panels with just like giant word balloons so you could almost see someone's eye?
Yeah, because Dave Aja does. But
that's
Dave Aja doesn't deal with 1% as much dialogue.
Oh, I know.
Bendis is the word.
Would you have rather have this on like a grid where they had this cover? Like, how boring would that be?
I'm just saying the names don't match up and it was really frustrating for me.
And they don't. Unless it's just my...
I did notice that there's some errors on this. Mm-hmm. Like Boss Don Kria Amostanto's name is spelt wrong in the thing. So, yes, there's some little things like that, but it...
Which bothers me.
Yeah. Never, ever, ever, ever read Pax Romana. There's, like, at least maybe 15 pages of Pax Romana scattered throughout. That's literally, like, one picture in the top right of people talking around a table and then actually just script dialogue.
Yes.
Like... And dense, really like small print and everything. Like and the reason why he did that is because Jonathan Hickman is kind of like, he has the best attitude towards making comics. He's like, all the rules that you're taught about making comics is like, fuck it, just make a comic that works for you. And he wanted to make a comic where people always say show, don't tell. And he was like, fuck that. I want to see if I can make a comic that's good where I do nothing but tell and I don't show you shit. And like, Pax Romana,
it's a great comic.
And it's amazing. Pax Romana is spectacular. And he did it.
You would not like it.
Yo, right? God, you'd hate it. You'd hate every page.
So
it's reading a screenplay. It's pretty fucking cool.
We still got two more in this pile.
Maybe that just bothered me.
That's cool. I mean, it's
story wise.
Now,
still killer.
In fairness, it was still like excellent. So.
Yeah, it's subjective. Not every effect is going to work in every page for every person.
I didn't like the storytelling device used.
I agree that the sloppiness of the writing underneath of people's heads and the fact that they don't match from panel to panel is a little frustrating. If you look at the wide shots, the names underneath those pictures don't match with the ones the originals.
Especially to be fair,
that was the first thing I noticed.
I literally glanced at it and I went, okay. And then I just read the dialogue and I went, the images here don't really matter. And
see,
I just kind of skipped
over
it.
If I would have done that, I would have been fine.
See, I don't know if they don't matter because I think if you put out a comic book where a page that has a page of art that doesn't matter, then fuck you because you just...
Pax Romana does that.
But the art still matters in some way. Is it just a blank page with dialogue on it?
Pretty much.
I
mean, there's some like panels that basically show people around a table
talking.
But my
point
so
is, like,
if you
have a picture on a page, don't put a picture if there's no point of having it there. Which isn't the case in Pax Romana. The art in Pax Romana is there for a reason and it looks good. This is a case where, like, the art did matter because it set the stage for what they were doing, and it was the lettering, if anything, that was wrong.
Fair enough.
So
this book,
it should only be there if it matters. Which is why Kirkman had 6 pages of somebody waking up.
Are we still going to complain about... We haven't found anybody else who agrees with us, though. Everyone else loves that book. Everybody
it's
else
just
I talked
us.
To.
I was the warmest on that book.
Yeah,
and
I was
like,
even you
it could have been interesting.
Dude, yeah, people dig
people
that
dig
book.
It. Like, everyone who came to the show, like, yeah, it was great. I'm like, why? Why do you think that? I don't get people. Read Lumberjanes.
I've read 90-odd issues of The Walking Dead, and it gets boring about issue 20. And people still are like, oh my god, Walking Dead, and they just shit their pants everywhere.
It drives me nuts that there's like a fucking San Diego Comic-Con special of Harley Quinn, and there's two people in the store by Lumberjanes.
This book ruled.
Anyway, so okay, this The Life After, Joshua Hill, Fialkov, and Gabo. I knew absolutely nothing about this book.
Me neither.
I did not know anything about I didn't know Crank lettered it, though. Crank is really cool. I just listened to his podcast. And Nick Patara did the cover.
I got the other cover.
Oh, I think
you got the Gabo cover.
I got the... Yeah, I did.
I got the Patara cover. The Patara cover is awesome.
Anyway.
I like
so it's about this guy who at first I was like, is this like a Matrix situation where he's like caught in a loop and it's just like... his boring existence and someone dropping their handkerchief every day. And I'm like, oh man, this is like some kind of crazy Matrix glitch situation, and I was kind of like, eh, I'm not into that. It's kind of cool. But then, like, he starts to break out of his loop and starts to see weird things, like the anachronistic time periods and settings and costume and stuff, in visions, and seeing things that he's not sure if they're people's past or future or what exactly is going on. And I'm going to spoil the twist of this book, because...
the twist is in the solicit.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
I'm glad I never read this. I probably read it and forgot all about it. I just bought it because I had a light week, and I was like, Boom has been putting out a lot of quality stuff
lately. Yeah, so much. Guys,
so
there was lightning outside.
Boom!
Yeah, it's right. It's been raining for like a half an hour.
I know.
So anyway, as we're going through, he starts to question like where he is and whether or not maybe he's dead. He doesn't really know what to think. He's like, what do I remember? And then he gets stumbled upon by somebody else who is, as he puts it, awake. And he's trying to help him wake up. It's Ernest Hemingway.
What?
Yeah. And it turns out that they're in the purgatory for suicides.
So cool.
What is this purgatory for suicides? Welcome to your eternity, son. And I was like, that's fucking cool.
Right?
And the cover for the next issue is amazing, with Ernest Hemingway sitting on the car with a shotgun while there's monsters attacking.
Oh, man,
him.
Seriously. The
Pitara, so I was like,
covers
that is... Talk about, like, stringing me along to a fantastic last couple of pages that I was like... Whoa, that
is
the coolest concept. I like it a lot.
I really loved this book.
I really liked it, so I'm on board, man.
Did you say this was a Boom book?
I did. I don't know why I said that. It's Oni. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Just
everyone. You're right, I did say it was a Boom book. Fuck me.
I just wanted to point out that you're
Oni also putting out great stuff, though. The Bunker is really good for Oni.
Stumptown,
The Auteur, Dead Letters.
The
is
New
Dead
Wraith.
Letters Boom, or is it Oni?
I don't know.
I bet you it's fucking Boom.
Helheim.
I'm fucked in the head.
You know what? Helheim is Oni.
I like that line.
You know what was Oni?
Sixth Gun.
Secret History of D.B. Cooper.
Strange.
Yes, it was.
The Strange, the Mysterious Strangers.
Dead Letters? Is that the one you're running up?
The new Ray Fox books looks really good.
It does look cool. Anyway, I liked it. Last book from last week that I had, I don't know if Rob didn't bring his books from last week, so we'll just move on after this one.
I brought one book from last week that I'll talk about later. Fuck it.
Just like on a whim, I was like, well, whatever. I like the writer. I'll give it a try. And that was Grayson, number one, by Tim Seeley and Tom King, and artist Mikhail Janin and Jeremy
Who
Cox.
Rules, by the way.
Yeah, his art's really good. That was the first thing I noticed, was how much I like the art. The second thing I noticed was how fucking fun this book was. I really, really liked it.
It turned out to be a blast. And I even remember when we read the previews for it,
and we'd find
I was
it
like,
so bad.
That looks ridiculous.
Like, yeah, just rip up words, don't you? So we were wrong.
Yeah,
this
we were. Totally.
Sweet.
I totally was
now,
wrong.
Now, was
great.
I supposed to know before the end that this was Helena Bertinelli? Because I haven't read any of the other DC, like,
I didn't know
shit.
Who that was.
Because it's Huntress.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I only know that because her name I know was Helena Bertinelli.
That went over my head.
But I'm wondering if, like, is this the Huntress from Earth 2 or that other book where she was in?
I don't think so.
What the fuck book was she in?
I thought Huntress came over from Earth 2, too.
That's what I don't know. So maybe this is Earth 1
maybe?
Huntress? I don't know.
I have been reading World's Finest.
I've long since stopped caring how they all tie in together.
But
so as far as I'm concerned,
fun.
This is what Huntress is now.
And it's tying into Spiral, the Batman Inc. There's Spiral's really only mentioned in like one Batman Inc. story.
Yeah. It's a cool idea.
Yeah, it was
so,
a lot of fun.
I like it. Agent Grayson, Agent of Spiral. So it's kind of neat. And it was really fun. And the whole like train heist type aspect of it, Bondi, was James Bondi, and I dug it.
Ryan's speaking excited. Of continuity.
It was funny. And
I was on IGN. This week.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why again. But I was reading because Marvel is putting out like the original Star Wars comic books from like the Howard Chaykin stuff.
Dark Horse has reprinted all those already.
Did they? Marvel's doing omnibus now as well.
Like the hardcover ones?
Yeah.
Okay, because Dark Horse has put them out in paperback omnibus for a while.
But anyways, they're putting it. And so then I checked in the comments because I wanted to see if anybody knew any idea on the price point for them. And then I saw the most IGN comment ever, which was, well, I would buy it, but I already own all the Dark Horse stuff, and I don't think the continuity holds up.
It doesn't, but it's funny.
Why would somebody care?
Well, what's cool and fun about that series is that it exists in a universe where Empire Strikes Back never happened,
mm-hmm.
because it's Empire Strikes Back comes out and completely invalidates that entire series, which... It's too bad because it's fun. Like Darth Vader's, the whole thing is really fun.
That,
so if you can,
it's all with like Jackson the rabbit, right? Like,
oh yeah, there's all kinds of weird shit that happens in that book. I haven't read very much.
Jabba the Hutt with one T.
Yeah, that's one of the weirder things, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Yeah, so that is my segment that I call shit that came out last week that I read and we didn't pod.
I don't have anything to say about any other book particularly. It's, I guess I could. Yeah, I mean,
this whole week?
Fables is awesome.
What was your favorite?
That was. Can we talk about this book?
What was your favorite?
You didn't buy it.
Yes,
we can. Whatever. What was it? This one? Okay, yeah. I got the regular cover.
Oh, I got the Chip Zdarsky cover of The Wicked and the Divine.
It's
number
a very
2
funny cover.
By Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey. I'm going to switch over to trade for this book. Not because I don't necessarily understand what's going on, just because it's early on, and I'm going to start trimming away my pull list, and I think that this book I would enjoy a lot if I kind of marathoned, like, arcs and stuff.
I'm the opposite. I really like it. I'm going to stick with singles on this one.
It's excellent. It's a really cool book.
The art is spectacular, as always, McKelvey. And just the things that happened. My favorite sequence in this whole issue was the prison scene.
That was pretty cool.
Our
very
character goes
Hannibal.
And chats with Lucifer,
who is
by far my favorite character.
Yeah, I think
Lucy
cool.
is so
she's
cool.
Very cool. As
and
Lucy falls
awesome.
Into the demon pit, surrounded by all
her like flashback to
the
her
crazy
origin
lady's
story
face.
Is so cool. And
that's
Anke.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Also followed by that sequence going into the underground pit to find.
Wasn't that cool?
Bahamut. Is that who it is? Yeah, Bahamut.
Well, she was going to find the Morrigan and ends up finding Bahamut. Who has
but these full pages of her going into a train station. Whoa, fuck. So cool.
Oh, yeah, it's a gorgeous looking book. I just think it's a cool idea.
It's an excellent idea.
And
I
despite
really
my disagreeing completely on Kieran Gillen liking Hole. Fucking
yeah.
Hole,
no,
like,
at the beginning of it, I was reading his little essay about this song that means a lot to him, and then the second he's like, I feel like, oh, Hole writer's credit. I went, oh, he's talking about a Hole song? And then I stopped reading it. I totally abandoned it. Be like, fuck that band. I like you, and I could read your essays, but not when they're about fucking Hole. Anyway, excellent
guy,
issue.
Baphomet?
Mm-hmm.
So hot.
He looks fucking cool.
He looks a lot like... Or have you guys read much of American Vampire?
No.
There's a particular arc in American Vampire of this like 50s greaser type who goes hunting down vampires, and he looks a lot like that. It's very cool.
I like this book.
I love it.
I really like this book.
Yeah, I think it's really, really good.
Sometimes.
But I'm trying to make it so that I'm getting more collections, because there's a couple Image books that I'm doubling up on collections, like Peter Panzerfaust and... Saga, I'm getting both collections and like single issues. And
there's only a couple of books I'm doing
both. And Mind Management to do that with, and Fables, but and The Unwritten. But what was I gonna say?
I do that with farts.
First of all, image collections are like $10, and also the less singles I have, the less bags and boards I'm gonna have to buy. Because they're just.
Or you can just stop bagging and boarding like I did, never look back. What was I going to say? The only ones I actually buy the trade and get the issues are for Sex Criminals, Satellite Sam, anything Brubaker does, and Manifest Destiny, which...
Hey, did you read it?
I read.
I'm getting the trades of Manifest Destiny.
As
and
well
I looked
should.
At the last page, and holy shit, I can't wait. I
hey
love
now,
this book.
Two things.
This is the best book.
The last page is incredible.
The
cover. The
page before the last
amazing.
Page is way better, though, Rob.
Because
you actually see the monster. I love when they reveal a new monster.
This book is amazing. I really enjoyed
but,
it.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Seeing the reflection of the face
image,
in the bug's eyes is
But I just
so
love the
cool.
design of the bug. So seeing its whole body. There's a bug monster in this issue. So
The sequence where the guy tries to like zip line from land to the boat. And then
you
just see the splash of
the frog monster.
This is the same color artist as Shudder. And
oh, really?
He does some of the best colors at Image.
I really like it, because it's kind of muted. It's not as, like...
Yeah, it's really eclectic,
it really works for this book in particular. This book has, like, a woody, earthy feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it is, like, it's Lewis and Clark exploring the new world, but with monsters in it.
It's great.
You know what I am so glad I did was buy the first issue of this book.
I didn't know,
I remember...
None of us knew.
I remember it so specifically.
Specifically.
Pacifically.
Sure.
Atlantically.
So Atlantically. Thank you.
You know you want it.
I remember
it.
Wanting to get it, and then I didn't. And then you were like, dude, you should really like get it.
Yeah. And then I think I bought the first two issues, and it was like,
I remember
I want this
I
more.
I had a light week, and it was one of the only Image books that, for whatever reason, I didn't put on my pull ahead of time. Because usually I try most Image number ones, and I was just like, I don't know these creators, and the art is pretty, but do I really want to read like a comic about explorers discovering America? Not really.
See, I would.
I was just kind of like, I mean, sure, it'll be good, but I don't know. But then I just like, I'll get the first issue. When I got to that end and the fucking buffalo monsters, I was like, this is the best comic in the world! And I have been a super fan ever since, so I fucking love this
super
book.
Fan! Super fan!
Super fanny.
Ryan's two favorite books I get in
super
trade.
Hey, so I discovered that I have the second trade of Ghosted, but not the first, so I'm going to have to get that.
I was going to read the second trade of Ghosted tonight, so let's hurry up and finish this podcast so I can go home.
Okay, well then, in that case, can I talk about two books really quick
books
and then I'm done?
I know.
But you go ahead. Yeah, I read one of them, so.
Which one? Okay, I'm going to talk about, I'm going to say so two funny. Things about this one. Secret Avengers issue 5.
I haven't
Alice
read
Cotton,
issue 4
Michael
or
5 Walsh.
Yet, just because I'm waiting for them to go up on the app.
The,
Marvel Unlimited.
So when
up
we
your
read
app
them.
Hole?
6 months from now.
Nah. This one has a lot of MODOK in it.
Yay!
It's cool. There's a kind of a cool. Okay, it's a bit of a whodunit, this book.
Okay.
And at the end, it's kind of a, well, not a reveal of who done it.
Yeah, past tense for that would be doubt it.
Who doubt it? Just more of a who I think doubt it, and who they think doubt it is an interesting who.
Doter.
Who dat? Who dat nation?
Who dat?
Who dat?
Who dat? Who dat? Make sure that you want, I can do that. Do that.
No, it goes, who dat? Who dat? Who they think that... No, fuck, what is it? It's who day. Because it's... And it's like...
Who dat ninja?
Who day? Who they think gonna beat those Bengals? That's like a...
Yeah,
because
Rob and I were definitely referencing the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you? Just in general life. Come on, man. Andy Dalton to AJ Green?
Brody Dahl from the... To Stillers?
Nope. Robert
hey,
Gathers.
Hey, let's talk about
original sin number 6.
Mike Nugent, the kicker,
by Jason Aaron, Mike
Diodato,
Frank Martin on colors.
Yeah, have you been getting all the Art Adams covers?
Yeah, because they connect.
They connect.
Yes.
And they look really cool.
I like these original covers. I'm really.
I do.
So
I like.
I do have one question. Like, it's pretty. They didn't come out and say, but it sounds like the person who shot the Watcher was Nick Fury.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it? Cable?
What do you mean?
Who's the last person who shows up?
Nick Fury. That's Nick Fury.
That's Cable,
end.
Isn't it?
That's Nick Fury in his armor. He even says he's getting on his armor.
Oh.
That's why he's got an eye patch on.
I'm so confused. I didn't get it. I missed it. Sorry. I guess he did then kill the Watcher? Future him or something? I don't know. I'm a little lost with this one. And I think it's my own fault because I didn't read it carefully enough.
No, I'm not lying. No. I'm pretty sure that's what's happening. I don't know that I am thrilled about it as much as I was at the beginning.
See, I think it's more heavily... I don't want to say implied that it was... Yeah, I think it feels like a very heavy...
it could be
red herring that it was Nick Fury.
But I think more that like at the beginning of this book, I was like, whoa, cool, we're having it. It's going to be a whodunit murder mystery. And it very quickly turned out to not be. And I think I'm also maybe a little, similar to my being burned out with post-apocalyptic science fiction, I'm also a little burnt out of like the super secret society that not even the secret society knows about, who works behind the scenes, then you never even know they existed. I just feel like I've seen that so many times lately, but it's
you've
not
seen
that it's
it?
Done poorly.
But they're not supposed to be seen.
But who, like,
it's
what's
not
up?
Done poorly, but...
What's going on with Midas and...
Why does he look like
I don't
the
know
thing?
Yet, so I still don't know what they're dealing
with.
Why does he look like the thing?
I don't know anything about that character, so presumably it has something to do with that.
I think it had... Ah, fuck, you know what?
I assume he's a character that is from an old Fantastic Four story. We just don't know.
Wasn't there something that went on earlier when he attacked the thing or something and he, like, took on his form? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Fuck. Maybe. Yeah, this is the issue where I enjoyed it and I loved my Diodato art, but where I kind of realized I don't think I am following anymore. Hold on, I gotta
I think this is the issue.
Stuff.
I think I have like the reverse where I almost feel like this is the issue where I stopped being interesting because it started to be a little rote. I was kind of like, yeah, no, I see where it's kind of going now. I don't know why I'm as into it, but it still looks good and it's still fun. for
it's
sure.
Still sweet. I'm
but,
sticking around for it.
You know, I'm tired of the army of Nick Fury LMD tropes. I just like the Nick Fury character, and I wish he would be involved in stuff more. This, I think, might be their attempt at just retiring the Nick Fury characters because they have the new Nick Fury character, and that's cool. Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense. It's confusing that they have two. They might as well just have one.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is their way of getting rid of him, that's cool. And I liked the whole previous issue, but again, the whole working... the cosmic hero who's killing people. Like, he's basically Cosmic Punisher, who's punishing people before anyone even knows they exist. So, whatever. It's cool. And the fact that he's super old is neat, and his armor is cool.
That's a funny sentence.
Yeah.
The fact that he's super old is neat.
Well, the whole idea of his, like, his formula wearing
I know.
Okay, I'm gonna do two things.
Fart and procreate. Okay.
First one is called Joey G Talks About the Last 6 Months of Adventure Time, because he caught up on them today.
Whoa.
Briefly.
Did you have an adventure?
The great thing about this book is that you can jump on every 5 issues, because each arc is like 4 issues long, and then there's a one-shot, and then there's another 4-issue arc. So the first one I read was the last issue of the previous 4-issue arc, where the entire land of Ooh, or the Bubblegum Kingdom, has been taken over by this weird mind-controlling gum that turns everyone into gum zombies. And the solution that Marceline Peebles and the Earl of Lemongrab come up with is extremely funny. This is such a funny book. I love this comic. I've always said if I could only buy one comic every month, it would be Adventure Time.
Adventure Time, you can only buy one comic.
So then issue 25 was the 25th anniversary special, which starts off with like a 3-page sort of like prehistory where this comet hits the Earth, but the whole time there's a T-Rex talking to a Dromi CEO Mimus. The joke being it's dinosaur comics. The writer Ryan North for those dinosaur comics online. And it's basically exactly that. The T-Rex and the Dromi CEO Mimus and Utah Raptor talking. And it's really funny. And at the bottom, he always has a little, like, the subtext, or like the whatever, the alt text on the bottom of the page. And the last one is, I am enjoying these dinosaur comics. Hopefully you are as well. And anyway, the story was great. It's just this really sweet story about mostly about Marceline and Bubblegum Princess's friendship, and then there's also a whole sequence with a robot house and Finn and Jake fighting Ricardio with the help of Peebles and Marceline, and the ending was just the most like adorable thing ever that I loved. Then the next 4 issues the next 4 issues is a storyline where Finn and Jake turn themselves into ghosts? And eventually discover that there's a bunch of like jerk ghosts get released into the land of Ooh. So Peebles and them Peebles turns everyone in Ooh into a ghost so that they can combine and fight the mean ghosts. And it was really, it's totally math.
Rob just came up beside me and went, "You wanna see my goat scrote?" And then was gone.
Wanna see my goat scrote up filmed on my GoPro.
And then
last
I hit my neck.
Two things
forward.
I'll mention before we move on. First one was from Dynamite, Lady Zorro number 1. By Alex DeCampi and Ray Villegas.
I like Alex DeCampi. She is good.
Colors. She's very good. This, if you hadn't read the previous 2 volumes of Matt Wagner's Zorro and the introduction of this character, you'd be lost.
Oh.
Or, I mean, I guess you'd be like, you wouldn't be lost. You just wouldn't know the significance of who she was at the start. But it's still just a great sort of a pulpy adventure story. And I liked it because I liked that story so much, and I loved the Lady Zorro character when they created her in that story, so have her back is sweet. The only other book I want to talk about didn't come out this week or even last week or anytime recently at all.
In fact, it isn't even out yet.
In fact, yeah, this is from the future.
In fact, it's not even a book, it's a
It's just the
celery.
Ultimate Cater Die number 1 by Kate Leth. It's just like a collection of some of her comics from her Tumblr blog Cater Die, and she has comics about comics and about growing up and sexuality and stuff like that. And she's really funny, and I started listening to her podcast, and so, I don't know, she's kind of my hero right now. Like, she's writing all these books. She's going to do a Fraggle Rock book.
Sweet!
I'm going to buy an Edward Scissorhands sequel comic because she's writing it. She's writing the Bravest Warrior comics. I really, really like her. I think she's super cool and funny.
I have her podcast on my podcast.
It's so good.
I just listened to
episode 2 today, which has Brooke Allen and Grace Ellis from Lumberjanes on it.
Sick.
And the first issue has Ian McGinty, who's the artist on Bravest Warriors.
Ian McCannis.
And the episode that came out today has Babs Tarr as the guest, and she's
girl.
The girl drawing Batgirl with Cameron Stewart.
That book is going to be great.
Anyway, it's a really, really good comic. I don't know where you can get it other than maybe off of her website. I found it at Another Dimension a while back. And it's great. She's awesome. Yeah, she's just kind of my hero right now. I don't know.
I mean, I thought I was your hero, but...
Did you ever know that you aren't?
Did you ever know...
No, I didn't, because I thought I was.
Did you ever know...
Oh, is that your favorite?
Did you ever know...
The comic books I keep inside
did you ever
my
heart.
Heart.
Did you ever know...
And I read them on the train. If I ever rode
remix.
For once, Rob and I were doing like a sensitive, tender favorite theme, and you had to get in there and balls it up.
Oh, girl, you're my favorite.
They call me
Miss Tibbs.
Rye.
No one calls you that.
I don't
think anyone calls you that. I don't know. That's
pretty close. All right, guys. I feel like this is going to be anticlimactic because everyone's going to be expecting it, but my favorite this week was Adventure Time number 30. This was the one shot again. Like every four issues, they have a one shot. This is the special zine issue, where it's an issue of Marcel Zine, the Marceline the Vampire Queen zine that she creates. So each section of the comic is a comic submission given to her by one of the people who live in Ooh. So there's
Ooh.
Kind of just go through them relatively quickly here. We had Cool Bear the Bear by BMO. Which is this really funny comic about a bear. It's just a one-page thing about a bear who can eat a fish whenever he wants. And he doesn't want it, doesn't bother him because he's made of bear parts instead of computer parts. It's so weird. I laughed out loud. Then there's the Peppermint Butler's Peppermint Bark Recipes.
Let me tell you what the peppermint say.
I should actually just read who's doing, because the credit page is at the back. So yeah, you had Cool Bear the Bear illustrated by Missy Pena. Peppermint Bark Recipe was the Becca Tobin story by Peppermint Butler. Hourly Comics was drawn by Liz Prince, who's a cartoonist that I really like. I have some of her books. She read a book called Will You Still Love Me If I Wet the Bed? I think that was her anyway. It was really good. She's really good.
Did you have to ask that to
her? Oh, callback. Callback.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was like a parody of Hourly Comics. Yeah. Or diary comics that a lot of people on Tumblr do, and that was Marceline. Then there was Chicken Experiment Comics, which was like a kind of a document of people's experiment with making rubber bones. Then there's The Man Babe's Lament, which is this awesome romance comic by Lumpy Space Princess. My Crazy Day, which is a really sort of sad, poignant Ice King story, which was great, by Carrie Peach, rather. No, that was by Jesse Tice. My Favorite Kissing Spots was illustrated by Ian McGinty. It's a one-page story of just Lady Rainicorn showing her favorite kissing spots, but it's entirely in Japanese, so I have no idea what they're saying. It's just awesome. How to Leave Me Alone was really funny by T. Zisk about Earl of Lemon Grab. And then there was a like three or four-page Finn the Superhuman, like superhero-style comic that Finn and Jake wrote, where Finn becomes a superhuman. And then there was the Afterword, which is also this really cute thing that featured the characters that we saw at the end of the previous one-shot that I really liked. So anyway.
Cool.
Yeah, it's such a great comic. If you haven't read Adventure Time comics, you're a fucking idiot.
I've never watched Adventure Time.
It's a great, great show.
I've never had an adventure. I don't understand time.
I don't...
I hate Rosemary and Time.
I don't really know what it's about.
It's about bros having adventures and people hanging out with their friends.
Isn't it like with there's some nuclear fallout?
That's never actually said. That's just like backstory that like the creators have talked about. But it's literally just like crazy zany adventures in a land that's weird.
Well, this sounds reckless. So I don't want a part of
crazy zany adventures in a land that's weird.
Do they wear helmets? And bandoliers?
So... My favorite comic this week by Robbie Neal G. Rat Queens number 7 by Curtis J. Weeb and Rock Upchurch.
Good reading, bud.
Thank you. With a beautiful cover. This is the second...
And a beautiful life. And a beautiful house.
This is the second part of the far-reaching tentacles of Nrygoth.
And a Nrygoth.
You may ask yourself, what is a Nrygoth?
It's got... It's got some really great action pages by Rock Upchurch. It's got a really funny sequence where Betty is really high on mushrooms, so she tries to eat one of the rat queens.
I actually saw that page on Reddit this week.
It's pretty great. There's this very menacing sort of villain going throughout it, and again, like, really excellent, just about 6-page battle sequence that's illustrated beautifully, super violent. And
I have
like
a quick question.
Badass, and what's
who
up?
Who is that? Is that just like a
I don't
new
really
character?
Remember.
Because I feel like I haven't read this book in so long.
I dropped it with the intention of switching to trade, and then I realized I haven't bought the trade, and it's sold out whenever I go to the store.
Oh.
So I will get it, and I will catch up, because I'd like this cool book. Kick-ass ladies being funny, and
it is
smoking drugs, and drinking, and having creating mayhem. And
it is excellent. This character in the middle that's in this big fight sequence, I wasn't 100% sure who she was. I know that she's obviously going to play a more important part later. I flipped through issue 6 and I didn't notice
her. One of those things, sometimes when we say things like that on this show, I feel like it almost sounds like we... It's not even the fault of the comic. It's because we read so many comics.
Yeah.
People who only read Rat Queens probably have no problem keeping everyone straight.
Yeah, exactly.
You and I read, and all three of us read, like, 20 comics a week.
Yeah, I know.
So
there's so many.
I feel bad about
fairness,
it sometimes because it's like, I don't feel
read.
Like we give enough... credit to some of these books through them.
I don't in any way say it's a fault of the book.
No,
it's 100%. It might even just be supposed to be a mystery, but I definitely read it after having read literally 10 before that, 10 different issues. Like, I reread a bunch of Peter Pan's or Faust, and then I read all the rest of the rest of my pile, and then I read this last and was like...
So basically, sorry, comic creators, we don't mean to give you short shrift.
It's excellent. It's really, really well illustrated. It was really cool. Plus, I mean, Rat Queens is kind of everybody's favorite series because of how good the main characters are and how compelling and how funny they are. And they really are. Like, their conversations with each other, their banter, like, they're really relatable. They're really funny. They're really just raw. Like, they don't pull any punches. They really speak like real people. Curtis Weeb's dialogue has such a great handle on just the way that you hear people talking, which I really enjoy and I think is really funny.
Who's your favorite member of
Betty.
The Rat Queens? Which one's Betty?
The tiny one.
The one who's eating the head?
The one who always gets high.
That's mine too.
Yeah, I'm almost...
Who's your least favorite?
I don't know. They're all kind of sweet. Hannah is awesome because she's got this sweet t-shirt that's her just flipping everyone off saying fuck off.
My thing with Hannah, I have a problem with Hannah as a character. Because she's always has, like, the quick, like, quippy little line, and it drives me nuts. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm like, oh, she always has, like, the perfect line and perfect joke to me. And I
really, you should hate Curtis Weeb.
I know. I was wondering why this all wrong. Ryan doesn't have anyone who represents him in comics. Guys who never have the perfect line.
No.
Oh.
I'll show you where represents me in comics. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This bit is falling apart. This bit is right there. It's a penis.
Oh, yeah. There's a very, very realistically drawn penis in it. Rock Upchurch, man. He's got the human anatomy down.
Now, I will say Rock Upchurch, this issue was his best issue.
I wanted to say
and
this last
really
page just to show Joey, because this is a Joey page. Last page of issue 7 of Rat Queens.
There's a monster in
how
it.
Fucking cool. This gigantic space octopus coming down from the sky and destroying the town.
Speaking of space octopuses, did you guys see the
it's
first
so cool.
like 2 pages of the next arc of Afterlife with Archie?
No.
It opens... It's Lovecraft. There's Cthulhu's in it.
Sweet.
The next arc is not about... It's like, yeah, this book is not a zombie book, by the way. It's just a horror book. Because the next arc is all Lovecraft monsters.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
I'm excited.
Did you guys... Did any of you guys get The Life with Archie where Archie dies?
I don't read Archie.
Was that the big thing?
Yeah, it was like...
No,
huge.
I didn't
He died in the last page of it. He got shot saving Kevin Keller.
He, like, took
sweet.
A...
I know. I used to know a guy who read Life with Archie and loved it.
Why did
I'm sure I'd like it if I read
it. It's like got 2 different timelines, right?
Yeah, each issue would have like the timeline where he's married to Betty and the timeline where he's married to Veronica. It's a cool idea. It's just like the adult soap opera version of Archie. As opposed to the teenage soap opera version of Archie.
I was seeing like, my Twitter feed, because I don't use TweetDeck, I just use like the Twitter app, so I prune my Twitter feed quite regularly. So now it's like mostly hockey bloggers, and that's pretty much it. And they were talking about Archie
Hoggers
and like Archie's death. And I was
so they suck at their job.
Well, no, it's
it's July.
Oh. I was going to say, yeah.
There ain't much going on. What kind of
shit job is a hockey blogger?
A hogger.
I don't know if it's... The one guy is like a hockey. Lawyer who doesn't work. He just writes a hockey blog. But he was named one of the 50 most influential people in hockey in the world. And he doesn't work.
Does he play hockey?
Nope. He just writes about analytics. Isn't. He writes. He's like the Bill James of hockey.
I don't know who that is either.
Bill James?
Is he the guy? Is he the Moneyball?
Yeah. He's like is the he guy who created. No, he's the guy who created like sabermetrics and stuff.
What's that? Is that?
Oh like God! We're just down this Wikipedia hole right now.
Who's Jonah Hill?
Jonah Hill is just. I can't remember what his name is, but he's basically like an intern for the.
Are his balls made of money?
For who's Atlanta. Moneyball? Moneyball's the book telling the story of the Oakland.
I know, but who's Moneyball? Who came up with Moneyball? Because somebody technically in that Bill movie James. Was Bill James was but Moneyball?
Bill James is like the guy who invented this, like who
balls?
Really
so Jonah
create,
Hill.
Who he didn't really create the stats, but he's
was he Moneyball Jonah Hill came up with that?
No. Wolf of Wall Street.
Jonah Hill was just a big proponent of
it. Superbad?
The stat, like looking at on base percentage instead of batting average, is a Bill James thing. Bill James is like, what does it matter if
so
they
he's
hit or they walk?
The pretty sitter.
Much, he basically created the idea
so
of
so Bill James is Moneyball.
This is the end.
Bill James is the one who kind of was the one who realized, hey, we're not probably that. Looking at not the right things when we establish value on
yeah, because
his one bit part and 40-year-old
they're looking at the wrong things. You know, okay, here, I'm being unfair. That guy's probably should be looking at, but the fans who sit at home, they're looking at the wrong things when they get into Bill James. They should be looking at the people playing baseball and going, ah, they're playing baseball there. This is great. Look at them play that baseball. But then what would you listen to in your car all day?
Yeah. I don't even know what you were talking about right there.
I'm saying, like, watch the fucking game and don't worry about it.
I don't know.
Anyway, Moneyball is a good
Jonah
movie.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill was Moneyball.
This is the end.
I like that movie. Because there's a devil there.
What was your favorite? Don't say Bill James. Or Moneyball. I'll say Moneyball.
My favorite was on base percentage. Wins above replacement.
What's that mean?
Wins above replacement? It's a cumulative stat basically showing how many wins your team gained by using like a certain player instead of a replacement level player, which is like replacement level. Like you can find a player like that anywhere.
I think I just had a stroke.
Oh, if you guys got me onto hockey stats, I could tell you a thing or two. I could tell you. I could learn you a thing or two. My favorite this week
was... your money puck?
Yep. My favorite this week was Silver Surfer, issue 4 from Dan Slott and Michael Allred. Because Michael Allred's my favorite. And Laura Allred, because I don't want to not talk about the colors, because colors are cool. Including the fact that on the first page, we get to see Michael Allred draw the Hulk and Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange made me
but
really excited.
Mostly Hulk. I want a Michael Allred Hulk book now.
Paul too bad. Tompkins he's too busy.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
If what?
If Paul F. Tompkins played Doctor Strange.
I was just about to say, amazing. He kind of looks like Paul F. Tompkins in this book.
That'd be so sweet.
My favorite thing about this issue is the cover is Between the Surfer and the Earth, the Guardians of the Galaxy. And it's like the cover has the Guardians of the Galaxy and they're like in between Rocket Raccoon's menacing and stuff. For like 3 pages.
Sweet.
They're literally just like, wait, why are you going to Earth? We're protecting Earth. And then Don Greenwood
Don goes,
is like, oh, so you guys are like customs and immigrations for Earth. And they're like, no, not at all. Do you have any flora and fauna? And like,
yeah.
That's it. It's so weird. But
Don Geist, that was good. I like that.
Hey, the lady who played Alec Baldwin's mom in 30 Rock died today.
Oh,
really? Late. I can't remember what her name was. She won like
her name was a really, really, really old lady actress.
Yep. But also hilarious.
She was really funny.
See? We are nothing like customs and immigration. And then the next page is, so how long will your visit to Earth be? And is it for work or pleasure?
I have to
there was some
read
funny
this issue still. This is one I'm behind on. Which is weird because it's one of my favorite series.
It's the best. And
I've only read the first two, but because then I got the Marvel.
Oh, do you want me to not spoil it then?
6 months.
You can spoil it.
I'll just be.
Do they die in the end?
No, nothing. Like
Silver Wedding.
It's not. It's not like a monumental issue.
You're on a roll tonight, Rob. You, yeah, Rob, good. Gets MVP for this podcast.
Sick.
That's a sports term, right? Most valuable primate.
I thought it meant Montel Vontavious Porter.
It could also be that.
former
US champ.
No,
I know what you're saying. You know I like that.
That fucking pay-per-views this weekend.
Oh shit, is Battleground this weekend?
Yep. You want to come on?
I got two soccer. I kind of do. I got two soccer games, but
I got.
Are you gonna get it?
Yeah, probably.
If you get it, I'd totally be in.
Anyways, about this book.
Oh yeah, that
he Silver Surfer returns Don Greenwood to home, and well, I don't really want to spoil much, but let's just say things might not be as great as they seem.
Look who's coming to dinner!
You know, it's a story. Which means there's got to be some sort of conflict. And the conflict might be showing its silly little face here soon. And also the last page is really cool.
Jesus Christ.
And at the end there's also like a tease that Doctor Strange and the Hulk are going to continue being in this, which, seriously, more all Red Hulk. That is my
favorite. You like Red Hulk?
Of all time. Red Hulk?
Red Hulk is your favorite?
No, all Red Hulk.
All Red Hulk? So Red Hulk is your favorite all the time?
Yeah.
I agree, all Red Hulk, man.
Michael Allred drawing the Incredible Hulk.
Is he Moneyball?
Just look at it. It's amazing.
He looks like Jonah Hill.
Is he Moneyball?
Moneyball is not a noun. How can he be Moneyball?
Moneyball, of course, Moneyball is a noun.
Jonah Hill played Moneyball.
Moneyball is a movie and a book.
Jonah Hill plays
two different things. Yeah, it's totally a noun.
The person plays Thing or Idea. Jonah Hill plays Moneyball, right?
Jonah Hill plays essentially an intern for, the Atlanta Braves.
And Brad Pitt who is a big
proponent of advanced stats in sabermetrics, which is just another term for advanced stats.
And so he brings it to Moneyball. And Brad Pitt
hires him because he's interested in his ideas.
So Brad Pitt is Moneyball.
And then
Angelina Jolie is Moneyball.
Jonah Hill becomes the assistant general manager
to Moneyball.
Who is playing Billy Bean, who is still the GM of the Oakland A's.
How many beans does Billy have?
He has lots because the Oakland A's are in first place.
So he's got lots of beans. Yeah. So he earned his...
They're one of the more broke teams in the league.
Baseball...
paid off. Moneyball said, let's go with Jonah Hill's plan.
Money beans!
Yeah, in the sense that they've been a fairly successful team while not spending a lot of money.
Yeah. Money beans! Well,
good job, Mr.
They haven't won a World Series, but I mean...
Well, I mean, it's not one, World Series ball, it's Moneyball.
You have a like 3.5% chance or some 3.3%.
How often do they have to play?
I just punched my knuckle and it hurt. All
right.
Technically, every time you punch your knuckle.
Yeah, but I like slam my knuckle.
It's knuckle puck time.
Oh, guys. Next week, we're going to be talking NHL advanced stats, Corsi, Fenwick, Qualcomm. These are real things, guys.
Are you playing World of Warcraft again?
No, these are real things, and these are to do with sports.
Sports. Okay.
And I'm not joking.
Guys, I'm sleepy.
You know what Corsi is?
Yeah, it's the thing. It's the Corsair. It's the thing you aim through.
It's a basic plus minus of all shots attempted on the ice.
It's Moneyball.
Jonah Hill?
And if your team has a positive Corsi percentage, say you're 52% of the shots
attempted
on ice are your shots.
So as a team, you have to adopt a positive Corsi.
So a dog is Moneyball?
Yeah. Who plays the dog?
Fenwick is Corsi without block shots.
Fenwick. Is that an Adventure Time character?
What about Coach Bombay? How's he doing?
Yeah, what's Emilio doing?
No, Coach Bombay. Show some respect.
Well, that's what I said.
Anyway, what's his name? That's all for Moneyball.
Charlie Conway.
Bombay.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have this week for Moneyball.
Jonah Hill Fringe.
Until next week, I'm Moneyball.
Moneyball.
Stay Moneyball.
All the beans.
In your Moneyball.
Billy Bean.